We hope this explanation of God's word enriches your life. To help you understand the audience for this talk, we suggest you read the context material on the About Us page. Please read also our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material from philipjensen.com. The following sermon was given at St. Matthias Family Church, where Philip Jensen was senior minister.
Well, today I'm going to bring to you one of the most awful prayers that you can ever pray. As we come to that which we call the Lord's Prayer, or the Disciples' Prayer, for it was taught by the Lord for the disciples to be praying, or the Kingdom Prayer, as that's what it is really about, praying for the coming of the Kingdom, we come to the phrase of Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it is a prayer that very easily and lightly rolls off the tongue, especially the tongue well trained in praying it from childhood. It's a prayer that rolls lightly off the tongue, especially if you don't understand it. But as you come to understand it, it is a prayer that not many should pray and not many would pray. The Father is the one who rules and provides for his own household. He rules the household, setting the patterns and directions of the life of the house by his teaching and life. And he provides lovingly for his house, protection and security, provisions for life, discipline and teaching. God is the Father. The Father who rules and provides, and therefore the one to whom we owe honour and trust. We honour him as we submit to him and obey his ways, his rules, his teachings and his life, as we reflect his name and character, and we trust him as we submit to him, depend upon him and learn to obey him. In particular, the Father of heaven is the one who rules and provides in heaven. He is the one who's at home in heaven, for it is his household, the place of his throne, from where he rules all things. Not that he's limited to heaven, nor that heaven is completely remote from earth, but God's home and household is heaven. That is where his seat is, where he has all power and honour. Earth is but his footstool. Heaven is his throne. And within God's household, God's will is perfectly done. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, says the psalmist, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you who, his servants, who do his will. You see, the Father's will is done in heaven. It is done perfectly in heaven, without rebellion, without opposition. It is done perfectly in heaven, for it is done willingly, with the conscious cooperation of the angels and the armies of his servants, who do his bidding, who obey his word, who do his will. The Father in heaven rules heaven perfectly, and heaven obeys perfectly, for all those, his angels, his servants, long to do whatever he asks, whatever he says, whatever he teaches. And it is done now, for heaven doesn't await a time of righteousness to come. Heaven doesn't await for the coming of the kingdom. Heaven doesn't await for the hallowing of God's name. Now God is Father in heaven, ruling and providing heaven with righteousness, his kingdom and his holiness. Heaven is aware of the rebellious, unrighteous opposition to God's will, aware of it here on earth, aware of it elsewhere. But in heaven, God's will is done always. For God's will is not always done on earth. Now, God is not the Father of all people on earth, For many people on earth have another father, the father of lies. And we who have this other father want to do our father's will. Our father, who was a murderer and a liar, from the beginning, Jesus says, we want to do his will. That is, now on earth, it is not like heaven, for there is enmity and wrath between us and God, between the Father of heaven and his creatures. Enmity on our part, for we've rebelled against the heavenly Father, have disobeyed his word, do not trust him for his goodness, have failed to submit ourselves to his authority, do not honour him or hallow his name, but rather have chosen another father, the father who lies from the beginning and who is murderous in his intent. And not only is there enmity in the world now, but God's response is one of righteous wrath. He is angry with his willful creatures who have chosen to submit to an alternative father and follow his lies to their own destruction, to their own hatred and deceit. For in our rebellion, we not only reject our Maker and dishonour him, but we also ruin his creation, especially each other, and even ourselves. Just as we lift our hearts in light for seeing what looks like the end of the tunnel, was the Eastern Bloc and the Western world seem to move together in some peace and harmony. Never have we gone through such a week of sitting on the brink of Third World War as the last week, as a whole new sets of alignments rise up again, as people invade and take and conquer and defend and move trips, and again our Prime Minister commits our Navy into the war zone. We are a hopeless people, aren't we? We do not know the way for peace. We do not know how to live with each other in the good earth that God has given, with more resources than we consume, even though we consume them so willfully, so stupidly at times. We never seem to be able to get our act together. Our rebelliousness against God is reflected in the rejection of our Father and his good provision and his rules for living, and our love of our other Father, the one who is full of murder and lies. And God is angry with our rebellion, angry with what we do with our with his creation and with each other, with ourselves. Yet despite our rebellion against him and his will for us, despite our rebellion, God's will is done on earth. Even in us, even through us, even by us who are rebelling against him. For even now in this world, God is working his purposes out. And his purposes will never be thwarted. He will never be stopped even by our willfulness. So when we raised up our hands against him at the most willful rejection of him in all of history, at the point when we most totally opposed him, when we raised up our hands in murderous intent against his only son and put him to death on the cross, even then we were still doing God's will. For it was God's set purpose and intention that his son would be rejected by us, would be killed by us, would by our willful rebelliousness be destroyed in order to save us. That is, God is so powerful and so wise in his plans and purposes that even those who rebel against him in murderous enmity still wind up doing his will. But of course, not willingly. We didn't murder Jesus willingly to obey our Father. We may have done his will, but not willingly. We didn't do it willingly to honour his name, though through the death of Jesus God's name is honoured. We didn't do it willingly for his glory, though you see the glory of God in the death of Jesus on our behalf. It's not willing. But the prophets of old, they promised a new day, the new day, when God's will would be done willingly by God's people. What would be required for such a day? But that the old enmity be forgiven, and that people be changed, that they be reborn, they be transformed, that they be given a whole new way of life, a whole new person, which is what Ezekiel 36 promises, of which I referred to a couple of weeks ago and again last week, and the hallowed be your name and your kingdom come passage, that those under the wrath of God in Babylon were promised a new day when God would forgive them and liberate them, but he would not only forgive them and liberate them, but he would change them. I read again from Ezekiel 36, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. And you will live in the land I gave your forefathers, and you will be my people and I will be your God. The new day is coming when God and his people will be united again, united in a will. The people will want to do God's will, for God will change us to such an extent that we will desire to do his desires. Jeremiah speaks of the same thing in terms of putting God's law into our minds and writing them upon our hearts so that we will all know of the Lord and of forgiveness without so much as another human to teach us. Isaiah speaks of the same thing again in chapter 54 of his prophecy, whereby we are going to be taught by God himself. Pardon and transformation is God's plan for his people. But when? When does it all happen? Well, it happens now and then. It's the kind of funny all then and now, really, but now and then's the way we talk. It happens at strange times. It happened in Babylon. The people were rescued, but it didn't really happen then. They weren't changed. They went on in their sinfulness. It happened in Jesus, for in his death and resurrection and pouring out of his spirit, people were pardoned and transformed. It happens in the gospel preaching as more and more people come under the sound of the gospel of Jesus and are saved. It happens in us when by God's Spirit, through the death of Jesus, we are forgiven and we are changed so that we now want to do what God wants. And it goes on happening in us as we put to death the deeds of the body and as we learn more of the will of the Lord for us and as we seek to do it more and more. It will happen, of course, when the Lord Jesus returns and the kingdom finally comes and his name is finally hallowed, when this world will be done away with and the new heavens and the new earth will be such that there will be no opposition to God left and only God's will be done willingly and perfectly for eternity. So when Jesus came, promising the kingdom, teaching his disciples to pray for it and to pray for the hallowing of God's name, he taught his disciples to call God Father. And it's not the father of lies who is to be your father. It is not that murderous one, the devil, who is to be your father. God is to be called your father. You're to honour him and trust him. He is the one who is to be your ruler, who will provide for you, your heavenly Father. And therefore you're to pray for the new day when his name will be hallowed, not profaned, when his kingdom will come, and when his will be done on earth, or in the land it could be, of course, on earth as it is in heaven, that it would be done. And so they prayed, we presume. He teaches them to pray. They want to know how to pray. This is what they're to pray. They're to pray for God's will on earth. So they pray for God's name to be hallowed, for his kingdom to come. For they want God no longer dishonoured and profaned. They want no longer his people in their lives to profane God or the pagans to reject God, so they could pray God's will on earth. No longer there to be enmity and anger, no longer deceit and murder, no longer the consequences of those pain and suffering and sorrow. They pray that God's will on earth will be done just as it is in heaven, without opposition, willingly in purity, that God's word will be spoken and obeyed, his orders carried out, his bidding heeded, just like the angels in heaven, who hear his word and go and do whatever he asks, because they wish to. They pray for this will of God to be done on earth just as it is done in heaven, carried out and accomplished. It's done, it's finished, all opposition finished, and whatever God wants, accomplished. But when is this done? Now? Now on earth. For the new day would come when God's will be our will, because we'll be pardoned and transformed in spirit and heart. But when? On another occasion, Jesus said, as we read in John chapter 6, I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes on him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is in Jesus that God's will that is done in heaven will be done on earth, just as it's done in heaven. But how? How did he do it? The disciples were to pray for this, for Jesus had come from heaven to earth in order to do God's will. But it's more than just to do it. It's to bring the new day when it will be done on earth, when God's people would be doing it. So he said, as the psalmist says, here I am. I have come to do your will. But what was the Father's will for him? Oh, his Father's will for him was that he lose none, that he raise them up, that he gives them eternal life. But what was the Father's will for him? How was he to do his Father's will in a world of enmity and wrath? For God's Son was not sent by God to do his Father's will in heaven. God's Son was sent by his Father's will to do his Father's will on earth, into a context of lies and murder, into the context of another father, into the context of hatred and rejection of his own father, into the place of his father's wrath. That is where he has come to do his father's will. Where his father's will involves suffering and discipline and punishment and death. And as he willingly did his Father's will on earth, he came to Jerusalem. He came to the Passover, where God had purchased a people of slaves for himself. He came to that place where he learnt what obedience meant. That is, he learnt what it cost to obey God. What it costs to do God's will on earth, just as you're doing it in heaven. For at that place he prayed. He prayed as no man has ever prayed before, and as no man will ever pray again, but he prayed the prayer that he is teaching his disciples to pray. And that you and I roll off our lips so easily and rattle off our tongues in quick response to the corporate activity of prayer. He was praying, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the prayer he prayed as he came, but he prayed it overwhelmed by sorrow and trouble. He prayed it with great sweat pouring forth from him, for he knew what he was praying, as you and I so often do not realize what we're praying. For he was looking fully into the face of his Father's will for a willful world. He was looking into his Father's righteous wrath. And Father, he prayed. A son asks for a bread, You will not give him a stone. He asks for a fish. You will not give him a snake. He asks for an egg. You will not give him a scorpion. Father, if at all possible, take this cup from me. With tears and loud cries, he pleaded to the Father who could spare him, who could save him. The Father who could have sent 12 legions of angels at his disposal. He prayed to him, if at all possible. Yet, not as I will, but as you will. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. He prayed a second time, my Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken from me, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, Father, may your will be done. And so, the Father's will was done. And he prayed, my God, why have you forsaken me? For God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And so he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And the new day came when we were pardoned of our old and transformed, remade, given the Spirit, changed people who would now live for God's will as he lived for God's will. As we pray the Lord's Prayer, we have the answers in the affirmative from God. For he will indeed hallow his name and bring his kingdom, and his will be done in this earth as it is in heaven. God will give us those things that we ask as we ask this prayer. For the Father answers. He has already answered in sending his Son, that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. He does answer now by bringing about his plans, for he is working towards that day when his will perfectly be done on this earth. For all rebellion will be done away with as again he sends his Son in judgment. The Father answers this prayer. But the Son answers the prayer also. For he is the one who did come and bring the new day of God's will, the new day of God's salvation, the new day when God's will be done by us and for us. The Son also answers the prayer because he will come again. As we pray, come Lord Jesus, so he says, Amen, I will come soon. When God's will and only God's will be done for eternity. And the Spirit answers the prayer. As sent by the Father and the Son, he enters into our hearts and brings us new life, changing us as people to do things which are quite unnatural for us, to do somebody else's will rather than our own will, to do God's will rather than our own will, to want to do God's will rather, and to not want to be rebellious anymore, not want to be stroppy and bolshy anymore about life, but to say, I want to do what God wants me to do. That is the work of the Spirit transforming and changing people so supernaturally. The Spirit is the one who brings us and moves us to willingly do our Father's will. But the strange thing about the Lord's Prayer is that we are the ones who answer the prayer. For as we pray, we who are forgiven by Christ's death and transformed by the Spirit of God and moved by the Spirit of God, we are the ones who turn our will over to our Father's will. We are the ones who now trust him and honour him as our Father who rules and provides for us. And so we are the ones who answer our own prayer, for through Christ God is equipping us to do his will. We are to do his will. As our minds are renewed, we are being transformed to approve and to test what is the good and the pleasing and the perfect will of God. For we are giving our lives up as a sacrifice to him, a living sacrifice. For we are to learn what pleases the will of the Lord. So by God's Spirit, we are putting to death the misdeeds of the body and working out our salvation with fear and trembling, because God is at work in us. At work in us to will what he wills. Working in us to act according to his will. Where do we see God's will done on earth as it is in heaven? It should be seen in us. We should see it in ourselves. We are the ones who are to will God's will on earth. We are the answer to our own prayers. For God's will on earth will be done worldwide. It will be done on the judgment day down the future, but is to be done now in me, pardoned by the death of Jesus and transformed by his Spirit. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name, drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Those who enter the kingdom of heaven are those who do the will of the Heavenly Father. Or again, while Jesus was still talking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. And someone told him, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you. And he replied to them, who are my mother and who are my brothers? Then, pointing to the disciples, he said to them, here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. To be in the family of God is to have God as your Father. To have God as your Father means that you live under his rule and protection. And so you honour him and obey him and rely upon him and trust him. You do the will of your Father. That is what makes you a member of the family. And so, if we're to be praying this prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we must seek to honour and obey the will of him who is in heaven. And how can we do that if we do not listen to his word? I preach to the converted at this point this morning. You're here, you're listening, I trust. Those of you who aren't didn't hear I said it anyway. Those who hear it, you see, you're doing it at this very moment. Praise God, but listening is nothing. It's the doing. You see, the angels who are actually doing the will of God are those who hear his call and obey, who hear his bidding and do, who hear his word and accomplish. That is what is doing his will in heaven. That is what it must be in earth, to hear and do. The disciples who are sitting around, listening to the Jesus voice, listening to his teachers, obeying his will, who do the will of the Father in heaven. We must be people who read and learn and mark and inwardly digest the word of God, that we may put it into operation, that we may do him, his service. We must trust him and his generosity to us. But when we pray this prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, will we really trust him in his provisions for us? For to pray it will mean also that we will suffer in this world of enmity and wrath. For the Father in heaven disciplines his children for their holiness' sake. As human fathers discipline their children for their good, so our Father in heaven disciplines those who are his children for their good. Do we really want to pray, your will be done? Because still in a world of enmity and wrath, we may, like Christ, find that our suffering is for God's will, not only for our own holiness, but for the salvation of mankind. For we will share in the glory of Christ, provided we share in the sufferings of Christ as well. For God's will for us on earth is not that we will be without tears and pain and struggling and strife. God's will for us on earth is that we will suffer, for all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. God's will for us on earth may lead us into the same garden that Jesus was in when he was praying, "Not my will, but your will be done." It's such an easy prayer to mouth. But do we really pray the prayer in our hearts? It is an awesome thing to pray, "Your will be done in my life as your will is done on heaven, in heaven." Because my life is here in earth. And I'm praying that I want God's will done in this world, in me. It's an awful prayer, friends. Let's pray. Our Father, you who rule supreme in this universe, and whose love for us is so great that you would not even deny your Son to us, we thank and praise you . We praise you for your love and generosity and your goodness to us. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness, your willingness to die for us, your willingness to bear the wrath of God on our behalf. We thank you for your willingness to do the will of not yourself, but your Father, in that most awful deed that we perpetrated against you. Thank you for the salvation that you have won for us in doing that. Thank you that in your death and resurrection you rose to pour your Spirit out into our hearts, that we can be forgiven and completely changed. We do pray that your name will be hallowed for this throughout the universe. We thank you for the way that your kingdom has come, including rebels such as ourselves. And Father, we know that your will is the best for us and the best for this world. And yet we are fearful of the suffering of this world. Please continue to pour your Spirit into us, Father, that we may be moved by your Spirit to want anew not our own will, but your will, to long and desire for the things that you long and desire for. Help us to so learn and understand your word that we might know what your will involves, to give us the courage and the strength to desire these things and to do them, and to endure the suffering and the pain that flows from it, knowing of your goodness and love to us, knowing of your fatherly discipline of us for our holiness, and trusting you that you do indeed know best and are working for best. O Father, May your will be done in all the earth as men and women come to acknowledge Jesus as Lord. May your will be done in all the earth as the Lord Jesus returns in judgment. And may your will be done in us, just as it's done in heaven, without opposition and willingly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the talks on philipjensen.com. Please check our copyright page before recording or reproducing any material on philipjensen.com.